Okay, we start.
It's like get the beer by Gachas. You did it to wake him up, and you didn't even know where it is. So, okay. So, I guess the topic was about learning Be'iyun, and some people find it the most frustrating part of learning. Some people find it the most interesting part of learning. But lesman de polig, wherever you find it, we need to understand, like, why do we do it? And what it is, and so on. So let's start with the Rambam. Always a good place to start. And the Hilchos Talmud Torah, it's built, part of it is certainly built on the Mishnah, but part of it is his own Chiddush. The only achron that we really have that has on Hilchos Talmud Torah really a halacha sefer is the Balatanya. The Balatanya in his Shulchan Aruch and Shulchan Harav has a real section of Hilchos Talmud Torah, which is you don't find any place else. And he works around. There's no real mechaba, so he works around the Rambam, and he amplifies some of these points, and some of the points are his. But let's see the Rambam inside. Rambam says this is going also on in Gemara and Kedushin. His old thesis for next year. The an ema sechayev the Talmud Torah, Lomo Torah. So until when is a person mechuyev to learn? Ad yoy moisei shenema pen yisur vavakloy mechayecha. So a person needs to learn Torah always, no time restrictions. What are you supposed to learn? So he says vechayev leshalish es siman lemidosei. You need to divide the time that you're learning into three parts. Shlish b'teira, shebeksav, which includes all of Tanakh. Shlish b'teira shebal peh. Ushlish yovin v'yaskil achas dove mirishiso. And the third part of his time, he's supposed to use to understand achris dove mirishiso, the end coming from a beginning, that's sort of the literal taich, achris dove mirishiso, the result from the cause, v'yoytzi dove midove, and he should extrapolate from one thing to the next, v'yidame dove ledove, he should use analogies, v'yovin b'midas haterni reshbem, and he should understand the midas haterni reshbem, ad sheyeda hi eich ha'ika hazeh. Until he understands, echu ikar midas, vehechu yoytzi isa vehetu ki yoytzi b'midvarim shalom ad nipi ha'shmua. The inyan is anik ha'gemara. So the first thing is to define the terminology. When it says, it's a Mishnah, it says shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'gemara, Gemara doesn't mean what we have the Gemara in front of us. Anything that we have that's fixed is Mishnah. Now, Torah Shabbal Peh, that we have in a definitive format is called Mishnah. Anytime we use our own mind to understand, that's called Gemara. And the Rambam gives a whole list of things, and we'll try a little bit to explain what these things are. Then the Rambam says like this. But Kate said, it says if a person has a job. So for all the people who say that the Rambam says he's supposed to work and learn together, they're right. So the Rambam says, first, if you have a job, you work for 3 hours a day, and you learn Torah for 9. So that I don't think anybody in the Kol movement would disagree with that, that's possible. In those 9 hours, you should split it 3-3-3. Then he says, Kol's Bamedra Amurim B'tchilas Talmud Torah. This is when a person is beginning to learn. Aval kashi yagdil b'chachma, when a person grows in his learning, v'leitzarech le'lul matar shabiksav le'lasik tam matar shabal peh, and he knows all of tashav tam matar shabal peh, and doesn't need to constantly learn it. Yikra be'itim mizumanim tar shabiksav v'divrei ha'shmur k'day shal yishkach tovim divrei dina tarah. So he has to keep reviewing tar shabiksav tar shabal peh, he shouldn't forget anything. V'yifne kol yomav l'gemara bovad, and the rest of the time he's learning Gemara l'fi roichav sheish b'liboy, based on the breadth of heart that he has. v'yishuv daitoi, and his depth of seichel, and so on. That's the Rambam. And so let's understand what that means. So the Rambam says there are three parts of the Torah. Two-thirds of those, the learning means getting the material down, which means learning Tanakh and knowing it, learning Mishnah, which includes anything for us that's Piskei Halacha. In other words, so, things that are kavua, which to us would be Shas, it might be Shochar also. And the rest of the time, once you have that down, the rest of the time you should spend on Gemara, which is a few, all sorts of different things that he mentioned. Let's first understand that's the Tzur of Talmud Torah. Let's understand a little bit the oimik of what's Pshat in the Rambam. When we learn something, we're learning Torah. So we have the tachlis of learning Torah in a minor way is to know what to do. So how do you, if I need to take a lulav and esrog or build a sukkah, I need to know what to do. So that's one reason for it. But in that world, all it is a chetimtza for mitzvahs. We've seen the Bach in the Alishur. The second reason is that the Asek in Talmud Torah itself leads and binds a person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only thing that we have in common, so to speak, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only area that we can say we overlap, we can't physically connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no physical HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emotionally, it's also not something that there's no connection in that sense. But in Das, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megalitas Chachma and said, "This is my Chachma." And when you share in it, you connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, there's a trick here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma would be infinite. But you can't give an infinite Chachma. You can't give an infinite amount of Sfarim. This world doesn't have place for it. So how did it happen? And more than that, if you're able to give an infinite amount of material like this, then since everybody knows only part of it and bits of it, people don't really understand and are not able to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? So the answer is, he gave us a finite Torah with an infinite amount of depth that leads on and on. Every step has a step before it and a step afterwards. And the infinity of Torah lies in the Oimek Shabbai. So just like, let's take an example of science. Let's take a physical example in the world of science. We can sit down, it doesn't need us. A few thousand years ago, people sat down and described the physical phenomena that they notice. Aristotle put together almost all physical phenomena that we observe, and it is a reasonable presentation in broad strokes. What's happened since that time is a much better understanding of the mechanism behind that, and the mechanism behind the mechanism, and the mechanisms behind those mechanisms. You know, when we keep probing, what we're doing is actually understanding the mechanism at a more detailed level, at a more rooted level, and so on. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connection of Chachma, here is the Nekuda Neflah. He needed to give us something that, on the one hand, we can wrap our hands around, and that's called finite, so that just like a great general science course will give you the broad strokes of all Chachma, and as you keep moving forward, you're going to understand the depth, the details, and the branching out of that which you have in the Sheirish. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah that includes Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebalpeh, the finite. Torah Shebiksav starts at Breishis, ends at Tanei Kol Yisrael for Chumash, and ends with Divrei Yomah, whichever Ksuvim you want to end with, and that's the end of Torah Shebiksav, period. That has a Gvul, obviously. Torah Shebalpeh also has a Gvul. The Balatanya says, again, this is probably it's his shita, that the requirement to know Torah Shebalpeh is to know every pasuk in the Torah with the drushes, the chazal, darsh, and halachas from it, like the Safra, Zifri, and so on. That's the type of information that you need to have. In other words, the basic shroshim of Torah Shebalpeh. We could go weiter, and we could say a person needs to know all the basic halachas from A to Z, which the Rambam, probably Mishnah Torah, felt that that's what he did. Now Mishnah Torah feels that way. So if a person learned the Libra Rambam, the Mishnah Torah, and he knows it, he's Yoytzer the first two. Where is he going to spend the rest of his life? So he will spend it going further and being misamik in it. And that hamaka is the etzem. It's ke'ilu, all of Torah that we have in front of us is the hechetimtza to know it as it is, to know the opening, the doorway, and then we move forward and we keep going. What are some of the examples of his iyun? So let me add one more nekuda that the Balatanya adds. And it's really, in a certain sense, in the Rambam, it's also mashma that way. In the world of Agadata, what we call Pnimius HaTorah is the Gemara of the Agadatas. In other words, how that reaches to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understanding the depth and the depth behind the depth and so on ad infinitum is the Mahalach of Hamukkah in Agadata. I want to be a little bit medactic what the Rambam says. There's a term used in the world of Pnimius of Torah that's called Hishtalshalus. Hishtalshalus means that things came from other things. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a very ruchnistic world, of which a more physical world was born, of which a still more physical world was born, and so on, and we can identify each stage as a separate entity. That type of progression is not different than our type of cause and effect, the way we understand physical phenomena. There's a sheirish, there's a result, a siva and a mesevev, and that creates something else, and something else, something else. The understanding of how it works is to go the other direction. I see a chafetz in front of me, to understand the step that preceded that, the step that preceded that, the step that preceded that, so on and so forth. So when the Rambam describes here what exactly is Gemara, he says to understand the sheirish of the things we have, where did it come from? How did we learn this halacha from this pasuk? Which inyan is this halacha shayach to? And which inyanim are akin to it? That's analogy. And what are the resultants of this halacha? Where is this halacha going to? What comes out of that? Those are the three main ways of describing what iyun is. So iyun is taking the halacha that we have like a still picture in front of us and beginning to understand me'ayin and la'an and the branches of it. Anything that is a dvar chachma has in itself a sheirish, a hemshech, and parallels. So the etzem Talmud Torah that is shayach to a person is gemara, which means the hamaka and the iyun of the Torah that we have in front of us. And like the Rambam says, this uniquely fits every person kefi rochav daitoi and omek sichlei. That's the yishuv daitoi, rochav liboi and yishuv daitoi. So if we ask ourselves, what is what is iyun? Iyun is this process. Now, there is a much earlier stage of iyun that's important to understand. That's become the bread and butter of what we do in yeshivas. Let's take an example. A person learns a Gemara. Don't shalom ben advar. What does Rosh Hashanah Dvar mean? Rosh Hashanah Dvar means that something that's, that you didn't say doesn't count. That's what the Gemara says. Rosh Hashanah Dvar. I guess once upon a time, Iyun was to produce examples where it does work, where it doesn't work, and to answer. In some places it works when this is true, sometimes it doesn't work when this is true. Sometimes this, sometimes this, sometimes this, sometimes this. Reb Chaim's Derech, which was a Chiddush, but today that's our bread and butter, went with the following assumption, or this was the following axiom. The real problem is, when you say the words Rosh Hashanah Dvarim, you don't know what you're saying. What does it mean? Does it mean, like Tosafot says, because you didn't say it? Or does it mean as long as you don't say it? What happens if you can't say it, like Taisa says? Is this a klal in Dine Mamunus when you're dealing with two people, and therefore what you have in mind doesn't work out the other person? Or this means in any halacha, nothing can be chal, even if I make it stuck or whatever it is. We tend to say klalim, and we don't ask ourselves, you're mevatel the get. What part of the get are you mevatel? What do you mean mevatel get? Where does it come from? What kind of halacha is that? It's not only for some abstract kind of amkus philosophy. You don't understand halacha unless you can sharply define it. And many mistakes come up when you don't do that. So a guy will come along and say, can you count spheres not in your mind? So someone comes and says, Dvar Shalvein Advar. It might be an amaratzis. It has nothing to do with personal mitzvahs. It has nothing to do with the world of mitzvahs. Is it maybe it's only shaykh to dinim mamonis? Reb Chaim's point was, if you don't define things crisply, then you are messing up, and you don't really have an understanding of what you're saying. And people will say things, and then they'll apply it wrong because they never sharply defined it. So Reb Chaim's Derech HaLimud was, the way he understood it, by assumption, is before the Rambam. His Derech HaLimud is that until you don't know what you're talking about, Lamashal, Moshe said a Sefer Torah on Hirur and Dibur and Krishna. So I added not terribly great analogy of Dvarim Shebalev. Does it have any shaykhus or not? It's very different. When you need peh when the Torah says you have to say Krishna, is it a maisa or is it dafke dibur? All of these are questions that go into defining it. The klal is you can never make a statement, especially if it's written, without leaving yourself over to a certain ambiguity. You don't know exactly what you said. So unless you tease it apart, you ask yourself, what kind of halacha is it? Where does it come from? When you're being mevatel a get, is it because you need your das and ratzen? Is it because he's your shliach? Is it because there's some sort of din of asa dibur mevatel dibur, that if you make a halacha, you can break it before it happens? Where is this halacha coming from? To what area does it belong? Torah is not a bunch of halachas stuck together. There's an organic system. And without clarifying these details, you really are helpless. You know the words, you know the root halacha, but you don't have an idea of how to apply it anyplace. And therefore Reb Chaim came along, and Reb Chaim's mahalach learning became the bread and butter of yeshivas. Okay, bread and butter of yeshivas because there's a sense that this is not just asking questions and answering them, It's going down to get the very basic definition of it. A third element let's take the two yesodistic elements. One level of iyun is to really be able to crisply define what you've learned. And without that, you really haven't learned anything. You know terms, you know an idea. So if somebody comes along and says, what's the answer to that? It means that things that you don't say don't count. And say, okay, what are we talking about? Under which cases? Why? What if he can't? What if this? What if that? So you basically have words without defining it and pinning it down. You don't know what you're saying. That's one dag of iyun. The second dag of iyun, which is what Rama says, is it's not there to define the halacha as much as it's there to help you learn. Because Talmud Torah be'etzem is to be choker and derish after the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Talmud Torah is. And the way that you do it is by keeping following that rope, further. It's a pathway. And every time you have, somebody once said about physics, it's a series of never-ending black boxes. And there's a lot of amateur. Now scientists have the system of this, they have it down, and now we have the following picture of what the most basic particles are. That's great. Now, take a deep breath, and let's talk about each one of these basic particles. What caused it to be, where it's come from, and you'll spend time and you'll come up with a theory of a step further, and two steps further, and so on. You'll keep doing it. So the oimek of Talmud Torah, the way it should be, is the chakira, the drisha, that's really endless, because that is what Talmud Torah is about. In yeshivas, they have, with a great relish, adopted it, because they found it to be actually engaging. Bachrim like it a lot. When you have to sit and memorize a mesechta backwards and forwards, chazir 80 times, and tell me what's on what page, and when you put a pin through, for some people, they find that kind of challenging, but most people, it's a turnoff. Especially when universities started becoming open and our scholars started keeping in, and people compared rote learning to intellectual analysis, and they found it wanting. And the yeshivas, by stressing this, was able to really draw in people. And even today, a young bacher who's good at it and enjoys it, it's extremely exciting. It's exciting, it's engaging, and so forth. The problem is, for somebody that doesn't have an easy time with it, so it becomes difficult. And for people who skip out on the first part of learning, they know how to say a svara, but they don't know what they're talking about. So it's like, he can clear all the chakir. I had a friend of mine who went to Rabbi Yashiv with a shayla. It was like a mom, something like that, whatever it was. He didn't like what Rabbi Yashiv paskined, so he said a svara. If I can't, so it's this. And Rabbi Yashiv looked at him and he said, my dear young man, he said, you're a goyin svara and an absolute amaretz in Gemara. It's a Mishnah and a Metzia, and this is this perik, this is this staff, and then, go back and learn it, and that's it. So there's no problem with that. But basically, it's tachlis was there to give a person the tam in it. And as a person progresses, he really begins, this is learning it, when I'm learning it for the eighth time, the ninth time, tenth time, it opens up a lot more. I begin to understand the different stadium of it. And I see more and more in each Indian, each time that I learn through an Indian and so on. Any questions? Yes.
If the goal is to get down to the root and understand, why do we have bekiyas? Why would you have?
Well, the it that we have to understand is the bekiyas. That's the thing we're trying to understand is the Gemara. So we need to know. Somebody once, I had a Rebbe who, in my mind, he was my demus of a perfect Rebbe. Somebody who was, in every way possible, very shuckle person, big tzaddik. I've mentioned them many times. And once in a setting, somebody asked him, is Bekiyas more important or Iyun more important? So he asked me, so he said, when a carpenter comes to your house, what's more important, the materials or his knowing how to do the job? The answer is, it doesn't make a difference. Either the two that he's missing, he can't make the cabinets. If he doesn't have wood, he's not going to make cabinets. If he doesn't know what to do with the wood, he can't make cabinets. So he said, learning means that I can take a sugya and I can understand it, and so on. So the Rambam Seder is, you need to build up, there's a chiyuv that a person should learn through his life, the basic Tereshav Iksam, Tereshav Al Peh, and know it. And I guess, I don't think knowing means a pinprick. That means, you know, it's like material that you know, and then at some point, the majority, until that point, a chelik of his time he should spend on Iyun. From that point onwards, he should spend almost all his time in Iyun, because that's what the learning is. Once I have the material down, now I need to keep moving forward. So the big picture, it's like science. If there are pieces of information you're missing, then you're going, then making the laws and the klolim is going to be terribly, terribly crippled. You're making a klal about certain things when you don't know, you're missing data. When you're not missing data, you have the whole picture, you can start going A, B, C, each level of Eimek behind it. Okay. Yes?
So why don't they have a third of the day burning enough to set rights
free? On these inyanim, in other words, in Kolius, it doesn't, a third means a chelik. I don't think he meant standing with a stopwatch, even though he does map it out. It means a chelik. For us, I guess the Gemara says that in Talmud Bavli, we have absorbed Tereshav Iksam, Tereshav Al Peh. In Eretz Yisrael, most kids, we learn all day, basically. Kids basically finish Tanakh, some Chedarim know better, some they know less. They finish Tanakh over the Tkufa of their childhood. Mishnayis, depending also, there is a sense that there's a lot more Mishnayis to know and to learn than there is. If you learn the Gemara with the Mishnayis, you basically know all the drushes of the Sefer and Sefer. They're pretty overlap. Not a big difference in that sense. So I guess we go with that, with the Gemara that says that Bavli is Boilo Lakoil. Yes, Alevi.
Yes. So, based on what we define Ian, the only thing is that we're doing too much heat. Like, why do we need to get 5 Nehoffen for every point? If you could just take sort of, like, the first go around, sort of, do one Nehala, you could sort of cover a lot more while being Mayan.
So, at different stages, in terms of pedagogue, I'll give you a muscle. When you're learning how to build cabinets, you will learn everything there is to build, even though you don't need it. When a Rebbe is trying to teach you how to, so one of the mahalchim might be, well, look at this. I could see it meaning this, I could see it meaning this, I could see it meaning this. And unless you're able to consider a lot of possibilities, you're missing pieces. I'm not saying that it's not abused sometimes, but there's plenty of room to, you know, when you show somebody what could be done. So you look at this and say, listen, this is what Rashi says. This Rashi, the way we see it, can tolerate a few different readings. And all of that is correct. So in the teaching process, it makes sense that you might encourage that. But it does allow itself sometimes to be abused. It's not, I remember people in the mirror, Reb Nachum didn't consider many approaches. Reb Nachum would learn through the sugya with his knech, he would build it into the sugya, he would show you how he got it. If you said differently, if you held your ground and you said well, he would say fine. He might say, I think what you're saying might be better. He might say occasionally, and it made your day and your week and your month. He might say, I hear, but I still don't think it's what Rashi says. Or he might say, you should learn on the Gemara a few more times before you open your mouth. Those are all possibilities. But people would complain, people would complain about it. They don't hear all the other different mahalchim that's possible. And they felt kind of very stifled. On the other hand, people come from other yeshivas that had a little, they would be so thrilled. They would say, he's not cluttering up my mind with a thousand different hakiras. He's cutting through the sugya the way it should be cut. Yeah, in the training process, there's room to consider different mahalchim. You know, the question is when you stop training and when you start. When did you stop training to learn and when did you start learning? That's the always the crucial question. Any other questions? Yes.
I find like a good method that we do a lot is before we even after we read Rashi, we always try to see how did Rashi see this in the Gemara. No, I often look at Rashi as just an explanation of the Gemara. Do you think it's probably better just to first before you even just sort of translate Rashi to see like the words in the Gemara?
If you know the Gemara without Rashi. In other words, somebody taught you the basic Gemara, so fine, you can hold over. Rashi has many functions. Rashi functions as an art scroll. You know, if you don't know what the words mean and the phrases mean, and it's misleading, it does nothing wrong if there's a misleading phrase and Rashi says something, that Rashi is simply telling you pshat. But Rashi is also an incredible mefarish. Rashi is an incredible rishon. So once you've gone down, and then you have to take a second look at Rashi, or a third look at Rashi, and you say to yourself, you know, Rashi is adding something that seems to be necessary for pshat that I don't see how. Why is this necessary for pshat? That's when you begin to get the feel of the Iyun Shabbat. Yes, David.
Was there a shach against Iyun?
You know, let me explain. What? Yes, if it wasn't it true that Rav Shach was against Iyun? What did you say? Okay. No. Rav Shach, let's explain what this was all about. In Europe, people learned the Masechta. Rav Shach told me he learned Baba Kama one year in Slavotki. He was 17 years old. He said he chazed over the Masechta four times. People through Masechta, there were no sfarim around. The Mi Yeshiva had a nice library, so there were two Rashbas in the entire Mi Yeshiva, and you had to sign up for a 10-minute stint at looking at it. And I have a secret for you, they didn't even have, not only an Oitz HaChachma didn't have, they didn't even have a copying machine. So there was two Rashbas, and that was it. Everybody wanted to look at it. So there were no sfarim. So people sat and learned Gemara Rashi Taisus backwards and forwards. Chazed it, talked about it, yelled about it, Oisik in it, and if they did see a Rashba, they would learn it through and memorize it because that was the only way they were able to have it. They would write it down and so on. And they would learn a Masechta Zman, basically. Some better would learn two Masechta Zman. And there was a lot, the Iyun was that there was a lot of back and forth, arguing, explaining, asking Kash from place to place, and so on and so forth. At some point, if you take a look at this form, Reb Ochber says Shurim in Masechtas, till mem, till pay. Reb Nochem told me they learned Yevamis, and Yevamis man in by Reb Ochber, they got a daf pay something. If something happened, and in yeshivas in America especially, and then in Eretz Yisrael, it was felt that you're not really doing Iyun if you're going fast. So people began to slow down. People began to feel that it's you know, the more you say about each nekuda, all the different ifanim, how many ways you say it, how many different akiras, and that's like real learning. So it almost became an embarrassment to move further. And what had happened was, it creates a tremendous distortion in every way possible. And in Eretz Yisrael, so Rav Shach, amongst other, my father-in-law gave his life for that. My father's one interesting shiva was they should finish a Masechta Zman Bi'iyun. And Bi'iyun meant not looking at every Achron. You know, you didn't look. And Rav Shach told me, I went to Rav Shach when my son, I went to Rav Shach four times in my life. Twice were like public things I was involved with that needed his Achra. And twice my two sons got Bar Mitzvah, so I was able to get in. I had, you know, because my father was able to go in, and I didn't know him personally. We sat with him. So one of my children, he told, you know, The main thing is just sit and learn and chazer and keep chazering, and that's important. So I asked them about, is it true that the Derech Halim would change, that people are much slower than used to? And he went off on a rampage. And he said, it started with Amaratzim, people that didn't cover that amount of learning, and so on and so forth. And he told me what's the issue is all the Sfarim they brought into the Beis Medrash. He said about his own Sfarim on the Rambam, he said it doesn't belong in the Beis Medrash at Bachrim. He said, I don't allow it in Panavid Beis Medrash, my Aviyasri. He said, it's a safer for you, man, it's safe in the house, it's a safer you look at it if you want to look through Indian. You don't learn the Sugis with Aviyasri. And the Mir, that was the Mahalach. So Reb Nachum used to be annoyed that we didn't cover much, but I'll tell you, in a Zman, in Baba Basra, we got Tullam and Heicha Sabbatim, and Reb Nachum was annoyed that we didn't get into the fifth parak, which had done, we gotten that far once. You're talking about a winter Zman. What do I remember else? In Ksubis, we got well into Elonairis, I remember that. In Yevamis, we got into the fourth parak in Yevamis. It was a longer winter, I think it was the Ibiyam. We got into the fourth parak, and he said everything, and looked up everything. He didn't say the only achronim that he would talk about was Ktzayis Yikivega, and he would say, you know, he would learn through the sugya the way he understood the sugya. If he found what he liked, a different safety, he would say, you know, the way to learn through the sugya is a nekuda, which I think Batsam some Sefer says. You know, and whatever, that was his feeling, was that some Sefer said, and he said it. but it wasn't, that was the prat you're learning by him. You're learning by him because you're learning Yevamos with him. You're not going through all the Sfarim. It was considered, and he kept a relentless pace. You had to keep pace and know it. So it became changed. It became distorted. And it becomes counterproductive in many ways. It, first of all, instead of people getting a certain tfis, a certain mahalach, they just get a lot of tons of hakirs that become meaningless at some point. And they also forget that they're supposed to know something. They're supposed to be able to come away with knowledge. The depth of knowledge requires, it's nice to have a very deep swimming pool, but if the swimming pool is a foot by foot, then being deep is not a big mile. That's what he was against, that iyun. But his whole sefer is iyun. His whole mohus was, Rav Shach was very deep. Rav Shach was very, he had a lot of depth. I heard him say Shiva Balabati once. They had Yachin Kalev Panovich. It was like Sponge the Counselor. It was, you know, Yachin Kalev was Balabatim came between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Chodesh El to learn in the yeshiva. And all the yeshivas said Shurim for them. And Rav Shach said a Shir on Shtaris for them. They were learning Shtaris that summer. And his Shir was, he took a Nakuda from his Yisraelis on Shtaris. And it was very deep. It was amazing. But and he said it with tremendous amount of passion. And they argued with him. And he was lignant. So he wasn't against Eon. He was against the way it had translated itself to Rav Matar at that time. I can give you the address of many yeshivas, so you can ask them. What happens is it becomes a vicious cycle. It becomes a vicious cycle. Rav Asher Eli told me many times, he feels his goal is to be off kid. He's the quickest by far, and it's hard. It's like everyone feels if somebody today hears that a yeshiva goes much quicker, he writes it off as a second-rate Bekias yeshiva. There's a social reality, and what? You know what? I don't buy into it. I'm 60 years old. I don't buy into it. You know, at 20 I believed it. At 23 I believed it. And it simply becomes. I heard Reb Nachum. They don't come bigger and better than Reb Nachum. They didn't need to get that into that. You know, it became. There's no. If a person's learning the sugya, and instead of. Someone told me he brought in a bacher to Reb Nachum. This bacher was a bright boy who had learned in a yeshiva in a chazchot. And my friend, Rabbi Hartman, brought him in and he said, no, say something. So he said, what did you learn? Learn ksubis. What did you learn in ksubis? So they learned the second peirik. Okay, so they started with shtaris. No, where'd you get up to the end of shtaris? So one zman they did from your test to chav gimel chav dalet. So Nachum said, no, I guess it's the cream of shas. so say something. Pixar. They started saying, and then the guy said, you know, my Rebbe said so many svaras on this thing that I'm all confused and I don't know what to say. So my poor friend of Hartman wanted to bury himself. He said, you know, he said, Reb Nachum said, no, Melech, and just, you know, let him go, and that's that. But it's not, if it wasn't for the pressure that everybody else is doing, it becomes a vicious cycle. Rav Shach told me, I'll tell you the words he told me. He said, it started with American Magidishurim because they're Amaratzim. They don't know more than a dozen blot. So they can't say Shem one of that, and then mainly they have to keep the Bachim tied to it. And those are the words he told me. You know, I remembered because I was kind of stunned. You know, I was shocked. He said,
Magidishurim in America, who is he referring to?
I have no idea. He didn't tell me names. I assure you, he was Nizra Lashon Hara. He told me, he said, I understand, you know, my father told me, Ephraim Prochazki said a blot in the mirror. It was before my time, way before my time. He said approximately a blot a day. But again, it means that all day you're into it, it's already, in a place like the mirror, Bachem and Atzor had learned it already once or twice before. They knew the Masechta pretty well. And they were learning it a third time, and they went. But it means picking the important pieces, understanding the nekuda of the sugya, not asking questions that do with the sugya. You know, it's I have a cousin of mine who opened a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, like in the early 70s, and he asked Reb Nachum as a favor that he would come once a week and say, tell him over to Sheikh Lai. So to say Sheikh Lai once a week, and that's the market of a yeshiva. So Reb Nachum was very gracious. Reb Nachum was always very giving. So he said, yeah, sure. So he came the first week, he told him on the Taisvis of Shai Meichzim and so on and so forth. Reb Nachum was listened. He said, fine. The second week he came, and on Amid Beis, based on Beis, the Gemara there asks, well, let's ask the Meicha who gave him the money. So Taisvis speaks a little bit about, is the Meicha Nema, when he doesn't have it, when he has it, the Gemara says when he has it, doesn't have it. So he's had a share prepared on the monies of the Meicha. So Reb Nachum told him, it's actually a surprising conclusion. So Reb Nachum told him, this is not the place to learn it. He said, just like a Rosh Hashiva's job is to teach a Bacha where to say, it's Rosh Hashiva's job to teach a Bacha where not to say. And he said, for a Bacha to sit over here and be down on that Inyan is wrong. Rav Asher Ha'eli many times in his share says, when you see something in its right place, it's a different lichtigkeit. When you see the whole Inyan, there's a sugya. Sometimes the Gemara brings something agav urcha. Sometimes it's brought, but you can't know it without other places. Reb Nachum would say in Shir many times, I remember, he would say, this is places where we need to, it's a places that we need to understand more, but since we don't really have all the information, because without knowing Ayin Hey, you won't know it here, this you'll have to leave for when you're learning Ayin Hey. That's the place to see it. He knew Ayin Hey. He could say, he would say in everything. He would say, you know, in some Gemaras, he would say on tires and this and that. It wasn't hard for him to say, but he kept a very clear, that is the way to learn. I mean, that's my Messiah, and that's, in Bris they learn quickly. I mean, it just doesn't translate, because it's in Kachim, so it isn't, they aren't that much. I mean, they say, they shtel, they learn up, and they go. You know, there aren't that many Sfarim in Kotz, not many Rishayim there, there's much, but that's a certain Surah, and so yes, a young Bacha in America, Bacha who's just starting to learn Gemara, you can't go fast, because you can't do more than that. When you first teach somebody a music of a Sfarim, there's room to say, it's like when you learn how to play ball, so you do slow motion, you know, you hold the bat, and you slowly swing it, and this and that, but that's not what a ball game looks like, and there should be a fairly quick process when you move it forward.
It's not a derech to, when even though those things are brought down in the Gemara Agav, that when you go ahead and you expound on them, you sometimes people can build a yisoid in a certain nekuda that they'll never touch. They'll never touch it
because they don't have a she'ifa to learn more. You're always losing. Whatever you're not seeing, the hallmark of a Talmud Chacham, if somebody were to ask me in this conversation, Rebbe, you mentioned Reb Nachum. Where was Reb Nachum born? that guy is lo la'inyan, as they would say. We're like, hey, there wasn't, if it was talking about Reb Nachum and we were talking about Reb Nachum, and somebody asked me where was he born, that question is a shayla of a chacham. If somebody would now ask me where was he born, then I would try to figure out what the joke is. I try to figure out like you know, I must have missed the punchline somewhere because nobody's that off. We're learning a sugya.
Yes.
Now you're so good about that. Now, it's the first question of yours I've heard that's mamish to that. I remember there was once in the mirror, there was a ganav that came in on Shabbos. And a guy came in and he stole like a lot of tape recorders and stuff, whatever. Kids are so much of Shabbos, there was a whole bunch of kolair, and everybody was talking, and guys were standing around, and they saw a guy coming in, and they think he left here, and a whole whatever. There was a chassidish bacher there, an Englishman, very to me mistake. He walks by like a huddle of guys, like figuring out, you know, a whole, and they ask him, and he says, "What's going on?" They said there was a ganav. He says, "The tzionim with their terrible chinuch, look what they did to Kol Yisrael's kinderlach." So there's one guy standing there. He says, "Ah," he says, "you know, we all missed the boat. He got the nekuda in the day. He hit home and the nekuda." Derech Chachma is that you know what the point is. Yeshoel Keinyan. Yeah. So if the Gemara mentions in this structure over here, you don't have any information. So to run off on a side piece means you're leaving the main sugya and forgetting about it. And it's like, l'havdol el fav avdol, I don't want to use a mush like that, but you know, a bal chai that you train to do something, you have to train him be'ikah not to run after side things. You know, if you wanted to do X, Y, Z, midrash ha-chachma is that there's a clear structure and it's not a mess. So that is very much a what the chinuch should be.
They did the fast bein, what they do the case also?
I'm sorry?
When they did the bein fast, like that.
No, there wasn't a chalukah. They would learn two inyanim. But they learned it like, each one was like 7 hours, 8 hours. That was it. It was, and take a look at Rav Ochper. How much Torah do we have from Rav Ochper? Do we have what Rav Ochper said? This is what he said once a week, and he took around the inyan, and that was it. That was the main inyan. There were other inyan he didn't take around, and there was no makram to go into everything, and certainly not zaitkin, because it's a certain level of depth across the board that you tackle an inyan, and you see that it's hot, and so on. Look at all this for him. There's nothing like. Lomdus is not asking many questions with many tirutz. You know, if somebody has a seder in what's Shapsi Frankel's mafter called, I forgot what it's called. What? Rosh Shapsi. Having a seder in that doesn't make you a lomdin. It's a gevaldika sefer as a reference. But if somebody to learn it from cover to cover, I mean, he would be walking right to chachma, but he wouldn't be a chacham. You know, there's no chachma to it. Chachma is not memorizing. Chachma is picking the right nekuda, that this is the main point of the sugya, and this is something which part of the chinuch that Reb Nochum gave was where to spend time to. I would ask him a question. Sometimes he would say, "Not bad," and he wouldn't want to pursue it. Sometimes he would say, you know, he would spend time with me. And there was a certain chinuch, like, fine, you asked a nice question, it's nice, move on. It's not something to dwell on. There's nothing productive with it. It's not going in a place. And sometimes you would say, you know, this is a central nekud over here. And you know, and he would spend the time going back and forth. Now, that was the, you know, there may have been other opinions about what's it, but L'kula Alma, that was the, it can't be Metzias where people are learning their entire lives in Kailo and they haven't learned it all. You know, it'd be because of if somebody come along and say we're so white and all this, who can't? I can't buy into it. I can't buy into it that when people today learn for 80 years and they still haven't learned anything at this pace, it doesn't make any sense. And even people going out, a realistic expectation. There's a chinuch to learn how to think, how to say. And look at Rabbi Chanan's farm. Look at all his farm. It wasn't a yam. You know, Rabbi Chanan wrote I mean, he didn't write much. He wrote Kovetz Oros. The Talmidim wrote Kovetz Shurim. But you can get a sense of how much he said on a sugya. Now, Rav Besed, the Imam Shimon wasn't, you know, he wrote Shari Yeshua was a life's work. It wasn't Shurim that he said Yeshiva. The Shurim of Shimon, but he said Yeshiva. So on an Inyan, he would say once a week, a deeper Nikuda.
When a lot of these Svarim, different Nikudim of different Shurim were put together, did people take from the central Nikuda and then stick it into the Agav Gemara? Into...
They did whatever they did. It depends. Each person took what he wanted to, and it's up to each person. So some people, if you want it impressive, you're very thorough. And Rosetta Shapps said the Tachlis of Mafteich in the Rambam, in Frank's Rambam, is to make available to you any sefer about any kasha that you can find, which is great. That's called a Mafteich. It's not called, so if a person gives all the information like that, it's not a mila. It's just like the internet is not a substitute encyclopedia. Internet is a chisaron. An encyclopedia, a good encyclopedia, Britannica was an encyclopedia that was edited by big people in a field who made sure that the information you had was correctly laid out and as correct as they could do it. Depending on each encyclopedia, it was up to the caliber of the people to do it. In the internet, you have anything that was ever written about it with no afchana of where the information belongs, the value of the information, the relevance of information. It's there. The only thing that they put a lot of work in is which ads would appear when you found something. That stack is with a lot of chachma, irrelevant and so on and so on. But the goof is, so when a person gets this information, internet has given us tons of junk. But it hasn't given us. Imagine you go to an old time hardware store, and you come in and you say, you know, I have such and such a machine, and I had a screw fell off. Could you give me a screw? And the guy says, what machine is it exactly? Here's the screw that works. And then you walk into Home Depot and you get a box of 9,345 different screws. it's wonderful for the same price, but you don't know which screw has to fit into the machine. You know, it's not chachma is the seder advarim and the tzuras advarim and the picture clawless.
The way they would do it, not in MBKS, just one.
To the best of my knowledge, they would learn two limudim. They didn't have a Shem, there was an Ikalim, unless they didn't use the words Bekiyas and Iyam. To the best of my knowledge, they learned the Buddhist thing. How many Sfarim did they have? They had Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. They had access to a Rashba and maybe Ramban. And a Rik Vega. That was the Sfarim they had. You know, like I'm telling you, in the Ezra's Torah, which was called, that was the library of the Meir Yeshiva, you had to sign up for the Rashba, for 10 minutes of Rashba use. So what difference was there?
So the thing with
Ian Bekias also
started in America?
It started, to my sense, for my Rebbeim, I never heard Ian Bekias. It used to be called the Tzveita Perek. Well, that's Tzveita Perek. That was what it was called. It wasn't the music of Ian Bekias was in Hungarian yeshivas, they had a shir, and their Ian was sugyas. They would learn a sugya. Hatzishir, this, that. They would learn all the Gemaras all over that, Shaykhastit, and they'd learn it for a long time. And then they would have a Shir Yosha in Gefes, Marashi Taisvis, straight. So there was a Chalukas akin, maybe, to Ian and Bekias. So their Ian was to go through, the, like every Zman, they would have a few weeks dedicated to Sugis. They had the, you know, in the Hungarian Yeshivas, they learned Chulin and Shabbos and Erevin and Brochus. Those were the main Masechtas that they learned, and that's how they did it. So that was their source. So maybe that's a forerunner of it. You know, I remember the Musig Beki. I didn't learn in a really shiva. When I went to high school, so it was RJJ. It was a very high school. It wasn't, you know, didn't have two storm. It had one seder, and night there would be some bachim learning. So people organized Bekias seder. So I do remember the word Bekias, but. I don't know in Europe. I never heard from the people in Europe. There was a Bekias seder. It was always named the Mir also. They would say Nachmittag. What perek learned Nachmittag? The morning at night they learned one perek, and Nachmittag in the afternoon they learned another perek. That was the way it worked. And there was always yelling that they were learning too slow and they don't know anything and it's not good and it's wrong and it's that was a constant refrain. That's, you know. But would Reb Nochum ever mention a sefer, an Achron? Okay, there were a few famous. There was a famous Kashem Chemdas Shleima that he said to two or three places. There was a Chemdas Shleima that was known at this, that, but that was it. There was nothing else. And look at Chiddush Reb Nochum. It's a very Chiddush Reb Nochum is a very good sense of what the Shir was like. You know, take a look at how he deals, what topics he deals with, how much space he dedicates. It's his blood Shir. It's a pretty good rendition of it. Al Kaponim, you know, listen, we should learn well. It does, you know, I'm not saying, I'm talking about places where they really learn very seriously, but it just becomes somewhat meaningless. But again, so let's go back just to wrap up the points. There's a level of Iyun that you don't know what you're talking about unless you could ask yourself basic questions. What do you mean, Dvar Shabbein Advarim? What's the reason for it? Where does it apply to it? And what's called, how do you define Dvar Shabbalev? And what if somebody says something but it's not clear? Is that called Dvar Shabbalev? You know, it's basically defining something so that you have a working definition. That's an Iyun. To ask yourself, what does Rashi say, and all these things, those are Iyun, that basic tools for learning and knowing what you're learning. Then there's a second level, where when a person knows plus minus everything, the person keeps growing by going more deeply into it. And you can always keep going further and further. And that itself, the way the Rambam explains it, is the atzmus of Talmud Torah. That's Talmud Torah when you've gotten, when you have the basics down. This is the endlessness of Torah. And the Rambam spells out all the different things you can do with it. To be choyk and derish, the shoshe halachis, the medame milsa l'milsa, and the things that come out of it, and understand the midas, understand how the Gemara got to its point. In other words, understanding behind the Gemara. That's the atzmus of Torah. Okay, because we should learn. No matter what, we should learn. Okay.